6000 for 10,000.
270, climb to 12,000, South 1063.
Frequent Flyer, it is Friday, April 19, 2024. The season has officially come to an end. Thank Christ. And, you know, if you've been listening to the shows this week, you know, Papa on Tuesday and Katie and Nick on Thursday, you know that I've been on a early summer vacation here, checked out mentally. And, well, today we got some quotes from old Danny Briere and John Tortorella to discuss, and boy fucking howdy am I right back in the thick of things now. I am ready to go. This is one of those nights when I don't even need co-hosts. I can do 6 hours by myself talking about this fucking goddamn press conference. But I do indeed have my co-host tonight, and joining me as always, Mike Aceto is back. Mike, how's it going?
Gentlemen, good evening. It is great to be with you as always. And yeah, we've officially completed this year one of the rebuild, of the alleged rebuild. And gosh, there is a lot of meat on this bone right now, especially with the Tortorella press conference, Danny Briere press conference, and the Flyers missing out on the playoffs. They had something like, I don't know, an 80-some% chance as of a couple weeks ago, maybe 90%. It was pretty damn high. And to see that fall apart at the end, I think probably better, but we'll get into that a little bit later.
And Manny Benavides is here as well. Manny, how's it going?
Salutations and greetings, gentlemen. Well, another season is behind us. Excuse me if I seem a little distracted. I'm just on eBay putting some bids in. On some land in Arizona, some asshole named Alex Morello is fucking keeps one-upping me and pissing me off. I don't know what he's doing.
Did you see that, like, he's not going to give season ticket holders their money back? I came across my Twitter feed before started the show that he's, like, holding their money hostage and won't do it. What a fucking guy that is. That's...
What a slime ball.
Yeah.
All right, there was some quote. I didn't see the press conference with Bettman yet, but it was something to the effect of, like, how am I supposed to deal with all this? Everything's happening so fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
yep.
What the hell are you talking about, man?
This guy's a one of a kind, that's for sure. But we have our own goddamn disaster to talk about tonight here. We don't need to focus on the Coyotes yet. And, you know, as Mike was alluding to, we can just open up with the general thoughts on how the season ended. It's been quite a while since we've sat down and done some recordings here. We're going to go last weekend, and then Mike pointed out, well, there's only a couple games left, we might as well wait. So we did, and thank God we did, because we made for much better talking points tonight. But yeah, season came to an end, 8-game losing streak. They hit 80% some odds to make the postseason. 8-game losing streak dropped them down to 3. They held on until the last game, played a semi-meaningful game, 82, and then Detroit killed their hopes and dreams anyway. But yeah, too little too late to make a comeback. And on the whole, I do believe that missing the postseason is probably the best here. But at the same time, you didn't really... You're drafting 12th right now, I believe, is they're set at. So you didn't make the playoffs. And you didn't get a top draft pick. So at the end of the day, it's like, where do you kind of go from here, guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm kind of the same opinion on that, Dan. My perspective on it is that I thought that the team was getting a little bit full of themselves as the season went on. And for year one of a rebuild is obviously many layers as to what you should and shouldn't be doing at that time. But I thought that the front office a bit, I thought that the players, I thought that things were going a little bit too well for them. And I think to the extent that was potentially going to be masking things come the off season and them relying on, oh, well, we already have this. We already have the guys that can do all this stuff. And, you know, really what happened is that you had some guys that played above their heads. The John Tortorella effect is real, especially on some young, impressionable players. And you know, the team finished better largely than what anybody thought they would. And I think that it helps to prevent the front office from not doing things in the off season. Now they still might not do anything and just ignore, you know, what happened at the end there and say, oh, that's just an outlier blip on the radar. But at least it gives us a little bit of confidence that Danny Briere and company are going to see the team for what they are and potentially not think that they've solved all of their problems in the first year. And I think there's a lot of weight on that with me because I'm kind of looking for those sort of themes and those sort of strategic approaches with the team right now, rather than focusing in on, you know, one or two players at a time.
Yeah. I mean, those are all good points. Listen, the team did outperform. I mean, kudos to both of you. You were much closer to the mark than I was in terms of the preseason predictions. Both of you said that this team would be much closer to a playoff spot than a lottery pick. And you were both right. I said 5-7-ish worst in the league, and I was totally off base. Boy, did they prove me wrong.
And you're eating crow now, Manny.
Yeah, I know. Oh boy, I'm really eating a big old plate of, you know, cat poop. But again, look at where we are. We're going to be drafting, you know, barring any lottery, you know, luck changing, heading our way. What, 12th?
12th.
13th? Yep. 12th?
Yep.
You know, yay. Not really going to get that impact player. Oh, but it's okay. We've got two first round picks. Yeah, great. The other one is going to be like likely the number 30 or 29 or maybe even
at least
mid
20s.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, doesn't move the needle whatsoever. I'm just really interested to see. Everybody's kind of been leaning on the fact of forgetting the fact that this team had a playoff spot in their grasp and they let it go. And I think that the team's gotten off a bit easy from that standpoint from the fans. But I think that people are, the expectation is, well, Danny's going to be a gunslinger at the draft and he's going to make a big move. And he sure as hell ain't going to be drafting 12th. Well, I hope that he does do something, because if he doesn't do something, I can see people kind of souring a little bit more on what this guy is doing. And before we get to, I'm sure, all of the big press conferences and stuff, a lot of stuff was made about what factors caused the Flyers to ultimately miss the playoffs. And everyone has their theories, right? It was the goaltending. It was the offense dried up. It was the power play. It was the, they stopped blocking shots. The penalty kill dried up. It was this, that. It was the solar eclipse. It was whatever it was that people wanted to say it was. And they're not wrong. It was a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
It was a little bit of all of them. The one thing that nobody is mentioning that is an issue with this team. And yes, people said the Couturier benching too and Torts. Okay. I'll put that out there as well. The one thing, and I've mentioned this numerous times on when we get together, the one thing about Danny Briere, and I am saying Danny Briere is one of the factors. Okay. I think his handling of the trade deadline was a little questionable, and I'll explain why. And trust me, it ain't because he dealt Sean Walker. Okay. I said I didn't have any problem with Danny Briere as a GM in terms of making the easy decisions. You know, the underhanded, you know, little soft pitches. You know what? You can hit those all day as a GM. Anybody that's a half a GM can do that. My question was, could he make the hard decisions? And when you look at that trade deadline, the hardest decision for him to make as a guy whose team is third in the Metro and seemingly well on their way to a playoff spot, the hardest thing for him to do would have been to say, we're trading Walker. We're trading Lawton. We're trading Sealer. We're trading a bunch of different guys, and to legit have that fire sale and to really get assets and really precipitate this rebuild. That would have been the hardest thing for him to do. The easiest thing for him to do was to trade Sean Walker and call it a day. And that's basically what he did. He got back, you know, yes, he got the first round pick. Great. He also got, you know, guys like Denis Gurianov, who did nothing, absolutely freaking nothing. Eric Johnson, nothing burger, and you got Ryan Johansson, who's injured and apparently is going to Ellis
Island.
We'll
talk about him sooner
or later. Nobody knows what's happening with him, mm-hmm. and yet Danny doesn't know what's going on with him, but he doesn't feel like he's going to be ready to go from the player's perspective.
Beautiful.
So again, the worst thing that guy could have done was the 1 foot in. Yeah, I'll trade Walker, and I'm going to hang on to the fact that this team's got enough to make it in, and then we can call this season a great success. And now that they're out, it's, well, I'm proud of these guys. They did so great. I'm so proud of them. The season was a success, but we still have work to do. Again, trying to have it both ways, and you can't. I'm not saying it's a major factor, but Danny Briere's handling of the trade deadline should be listed as one of the things that caused this team to kind of spin its tires down the stretch.
The fan reaction towards, well, they weren't supposed to be a playoff team anyway. And I'm like, but they fucking were! They were until about 3.5 weeks ago. Like, there's no excuse why they didn't make it other than sheer incompetence. And yeah, it was not one aspect that missed. Reality is this team was able to hide their flaws very well for a vast majority of the season. League worst power play, your league worst save percentage after Carter Hart left, the complete lack of offense in general, the defensive injuries, Danny Briere's wacky fucking trade deadline. It was all a factor. That was not, there was no individual. You can't just blame Sam Ersson. Can't just blame John Tortorella. Can't just blame Couturier. It was everything coming to a head at the same time, which led to the 8-game losing streak and them falling off the planet.
Yeah, one thing also, Dan, that is kind of, what I'm sensing here, and this was kind of a nightmare scenario, because we had a lot of analysis post trade deadline, and I think that one of our main themes was there's a lot of meat left on this rebuild bone. As Manny mentioned, went through all of the names that were out there and that probably should have been moved, and the whole thing that came out of the Flyers' mouth was, oh, well, these guys deserve to have this chance. Scott Laughton deserves to be here, and everybody deserves to stay together. And then you see what happened was there was an epic collapse after the trade deadline. And so to me, that says who's making decisions here? How are they reading the room? How are they reading their players if they felt so strongly about keeping these guys together? And that's what happened. I mean, how bad is your judgment on what's taking place with this team? Because I think that makes the front office and the head coach look like freaking morons,
Yeah, they boggled the way. It's hard to walk that line between being a rebuilding team and trying to hold on to that while also trying to, hey, we're going to make the playoffs, right? It's such mixed messaging. And, using that to kind of hop off into today's presser, Tortorella went first. And I thought on the whole, this guy was really good. We have been very critical of Tortorella's personality over the last 6 weeks or so. This guy was, kind of off of his rocker a little bit, a little unstable lately. And then he came through and he was very genuine. He said, it was my fault that they didn't make it. Everyone tried hard. They did their job. We're going to get better. We need to add some talent and we're going to do better. I was like, okay, good job, Tortorella. Big fan of that one. And then this Breer guy shows up. Gives a interview right from Ron Hextall out of 2015 and starts talking about, well, we like Atkinson and we're going to bring Rocky Thompson back and we're going to, we're not going to spend in free agency. And I'm like, holy shit. I had a little birdie tell me in the afternoon that Breer, that presser was just a front, you're keeping expectations low kind of thing. And I get it, right? He cannot come out and say, I'm going to sign Sam Reinhart for this much money and this much term. I get that. But the one thing I did not want to hear after this year was that things are going to stay the same. We're going to run it back. It's such brutal messaging for this guy to try and spin off like that. And we'll get into some of these quotes individually here in a little while, but I was overall not thrilled with the way Breer kind of tried to sell this to this team. At least say, hey, this season was better than expected. We're going to go out and we're going to do our damnedest and improve next summer one way or the other. And it's great. And it's like the biggest problem. One of my biggest things that drives me nuts about this team is the messaging that they try and sell versus the product that is on the ice is so rarely congruent, no matter who's in charge. Chuck Fletcher's aggressive retool that was a bottom five team. Ron Hextall's rebuild that never fucking went anywhere. Danny Briere, you know, trying to walk this beautiful line between rebuilding and making the playoffs. It's just like, fuck, just tell me that you're going to try and get better. Do what you can to get better. Like, I don't want to hear about Cam Atkinson. Why the fuck is Rocky Thompson coming back? Why are they not saying, hey, let's go out and try and hunt down a free agent? You need help here. Like, I hope sincerely that this was a front, that he's just keeping expectations low so he can Crouching Tiger, Hidden Briere this summer and come out and do something great and spectacular and amazing. But sweet Christ, I went from being kind of neutral on Briere. I realize I've been taking pot shots at him for a year now, but I'm kind of neutral on the guy. And then I walked away from this press conference this afternoon completely pissed off, deep in the red with feelings on this. Just the general vibes that he had from this one and what I walked away from. Man, I was disappointed listening to Danny Briere talk this afternoon.
Yeah, I wasn't terribly optimistic either hearing what he had to say. I mean, he got caught in a couple of traps here. And I think, you know, one of the biggest ones and one of the most obvious ones that everyone's asking and happened probably 3 or 4 minutes into the press conference was, you know, you're going to be drafting around the 12 spot this year. You clearly have no intention on getting top five picks. How are you getting high end talent? And basically Briere just kind of scoffed at it and he laughed at it. He basically just laughed at the question as if it was like an impossibility and there's no point even thinking that you can do that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, he goes, you know, we're going to be looking for it. Bulk of it needs to be done through the draft. Okay, well, what are you doing here? Like at 12, I mean, you're not going to be able to get the players. Everybody knows that. And like, you just painted yourself in a corner and like everyone's asking the question and you have no answer for it. So like, that question really, really pissed me off because he has no answer for it. And his response is like, just like, yeah, that's just the way it has to be. It's like, okay, well, how do all these other teams find a way to do this? But the Flyers can't. You are adverse to doing that. And I don't know, that answer just really, really freaking annoyed me.
Yeah, it really annoyed me too, because you're right, he did scoff a little bit and then he kind of danced around it going, well, you know, it's really hard to get that kind of high-end talent. And it's like, well, yeah, but part of the rebuild and the framing of the season and your philosophy was we need to get high-end talent. And when somebody rightfully asks you, you know, so what's your plan to get that high-end talent, and he doesn't really have an answer, I'm sorry, that you have to be better than that. Now, again, the way that he answered it, and I think that it goes without saying that the Flyers are probably going to be trying to explore the trade route. But again, he kind of admitted that, you know, really good young talent that's under contract with other teams, teams don't want to get rid of those guys. That's true. So again, you're playing, you know, you're going around in circles because you want high-end talent, but you're drafting too high in the draft, sorry, too low in the draft to get that high end talent. And then you're not going to spend money in free agency. And granted, the free agent class this year sucks. So I'm not really upset that, you know, the Flyers aren't really going to be big players in free agency, unless I'm sure that guy's name is Sean Walker. Then I'm sure that they're going to make a big old splash, you know, then that's different. But that's the problem, is there's this dance going on of, they know and they've acknowledged we need a 1C, we need top-end talent, and we likely need a top-pair defense. So how do you go out and get that stuff? Mm-hmm. Well, all the avenues that are open to this team to do that, and any regular team would do, are basically blocked off from the Flyers because of what they did this year in terms of overachieving in the standings. And you know what? Going to give the shout-out. Frank Saravalli called it on his podcast, you know, 3 months into the season. He called this a nightmare scenario for the Philadelphia Flyers, that this is not where they expected to be. And then it kind of locks you into the cycle of, well, if we start to give up on the season and we trade all these guys, then we look bad. And it's like, yeah, but you're actually following through on your ideology and what you said you were supposed to do. because you said the whole time you're going to do it the right way. No shortcuts. This is going to be painful, but it's got to happen. And that's the way to contention. And instead it's, oh, well, we're winning. Cool. Let's just trade Walker because we're going to make a playoff spot anyways. You know what? Let's already start chatting up the playoffs. Let's get Dan Hilferty in there shaking hands after every fucking win. And making it look and get the cameras all buzzing. Let's make it look like this new era of orange. Let's get the synergy going with our hashtag. Let's really get the Wells Fargo Center pumping. And you know what? They did a lot of that stuff until they missed the playoffs. And now, even somebody like me who is critical, by the last month of the season, I was even starting to get on board saying, you know what? Fuck it. What's the point of drafting 10th overall? I'd rather make the playoffs and draft 16th or 17th and get my shit kicked in the first round. I know that there's no point to that and there's pluses and minuses to that. But if it comes to missing and you're drafting 12th or making it, getting your ass kicked, and at least you got a little bit of playoff experience, they could at least hang their hat on that. Whether it's right or wrong, that's up for debate. The thing is, though, is that they didn't. And they moved the goalposts for success this season. It started with, this is a shit team and we're in a rebuild. And then as the wins came, the goalposts moved and it was, oh yeah, we're competing. This is a good team. And then they have a playoff spot and they look like they're going to make the playoffs. And they go, oh yeah, we're going to make the playoffs. This is great. That sweet playoff revenue is going to be coming in. Yes. To the Wells Fargo Center. And then they moved that goalpost to say that the playoffs now are the goal. They acted in the trade deadline like the playoffs were the goal. They got help from outside because they are, quote, playoff performers. Denis Gurianov had an interesting playoff a couple of seasons
5 years ago, yeah.
Right. They all of this bullshit, this reward for the players. Yeah, it's like me being in a fucking dungeon with the fucking my madam and she burns a cigarette out on my nipples. That's my reward. That's terrible. Like this was a terrible set of rewards. They moved the goalposts and they failed again at accomplishing their goal. They can hang their hat on, you know what, Forster, yes, developed well. York developed well. You know, other players, Samuel Ersson played pretty well. I know he had that shitty 8-game stretch, but I was pretty happy with him. Other guys, whatever. Bobby Brink's name was mentioned a couple of times in Briere's press conference. And I'm like, I'm sorry, Bobby Brink? The guy that Torts stapled to the fourth line? Or
yeah, I didn't get that either.
For like the last 2-3 months of the season?
The entire second half of the year, yep.
That guy took huge steps? Are you sure we're talking about the same guy? Or is that an English as a second language thing, Danny? Anyway, I just thought that overall the message was uninspiring. And I know if they're playing cards and whatnot, but the only thing I thought Danny was really honest about was bringing people's expectations of Michkov coming over down and being real and saying, you know what, it's 2 years from now and that's it. Like, unless something really drastic changes, it's 2 years from now and that's it. I thought I'll give him credit for that, being honest. The rest of it I thought was just blah.
Speaking of mixed messages, one of his quotes was specifically, we have to be careful. I know the expectations next year will be that, oh, we've got to get in the playoffs, and I don't even know we're there yet. It was a great year, but that's still a long way to go. What do you mean you're not going to make the playoffs next year? What the fuck? How can you get this close? You would have had it if you didn't have that fucking losing streak, and you're going to say, we're not making the playoffs next year. What are you doing next year then?
Exactly.
What's the plan right now? Are you going to finish bottom of the league next year? How's that going to work? Are you selling Konechny and shit this summer? If not, then why are you not? Oh, I'm getting
That's
angry
exactly
all
right,
this was
Dan.
Me in my kitchen at 2 p.m. today, fucking ranting and raving to nobody, reading these quotes, getting pissed off, and I'm reading them again and getting pissed off again. This doesn't make any fucking sense.
You're so right, Dan. I felt the exact same way when I heard that and saw that written down through some of the beat reporters. It's like, look, if you want to go that route, I am totally fine with that route. But like you had mentioned, like, it entails things like trading a Travis Konechny. It entails things like taking one or two steps back now, maybe being worse next year and the following, to take 3 or 4 steps forward over the next 3 to 5 years. That is fine. I am good with that. What you can't do is just say all that bullshit
and then sit with your thumb up your ass in the off season and do nothing and bring in, you know, another depth player like, you know, a Mark Stahl part two or something like that. Like, that is not what rebuilding is. Rebuilding isn't just sitting and waiting and seeing if the guys you have can, you know, somehow make a magical run between year one of a rebuild and year 10. That's not what it is. You have to be highly active as a front office. And whether that is the trading Travis Konecny routes and accumulating that way, or things that you've postulated, Dan, on Brotherly Puck, in terms of bringing in maybe some guys in their mid-20s, maybe one or two guys that are a little bit later in their careers to strike some sort of balance here to compete. If you think this team is that good, you know, they almost made the playoffs, maybe you try to go over the top next year by bringing in a couple bodies. Like, I could even get on board with that. I could see that. But what I can't get on board with is sitting and waiting through the summer, which is what I think is going to happen. I think that they will try certain things. They may try to, you know, acquire some younger players via trade. It's also very hard to do. It's a lot easier to draft them in the top five. No, they don't want to do that. So, I mean, I think sitting in that middle ground is a major issue to me. I think it's one of the philosophical shortcomings all the other front offices had, and that Danny Briere seems to be embracing, because it's really difficult to actually make the hard decisions, as Manny mentioned earlier in the show.
Did you guys notice when he praised Mark Stahl?
God,
he praised him.
I blocked
like
that out of my head.
And I think I vomited in my mouth when he did that. But I get it. Like, I don't understand this fallback of, well, he's playing his cards. He's putting up a front. And it's like, this isn't the lead up to the trade deadline.
It's not the time for that. It's just not like the time of year for that. Yeah. This is a team that's not going to have to address the media for like 2.5 months now. You're not going to hear from Briere again until the draft. Leave us on a good note of positives. So you don't have to say, hey, we're going to go get Stamkos. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. I don't need to lay out your plan in front of me and all this bullshit excuse I heard all day long on Twitter. It doesn't need to be that. How about some positives? We're not going to make the playoffs next year, and Mark Stahl on this one. I don't need to hear that. Give me something to be like, hey, this guy fucking gets it. Because that is not the message that I walked away with today from.
No, and that's my point, is it's, I know that the draft is in June.
The end of June,
right?
Yeah.
June. So we're still like 2 months away from that.
Yeah.
And it's like, now is not the time to play poker. You at least say like, yeah, you know what? Listen, we're going to be looking at the trade, you know, route. We're going to be calling teams, and teams are going to be calling us. And
28th, you know, and 29th of June right now, 10 and a half weeks from now.
And at least if that was the message, that, you know what, and he did say it like, listen, we're open for business if it's something that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a played out line that literally any GM could say. That's what our last two loser GMs
said.
That
was a Chuck Fletcher go-to line. Yeah.
Well, if something comes our way, you know, like, we'll listen and we'll figure it out. So in other words, somebody has to fucking break a bat over your fucking head to fucking show you, like, here it is. Do you want this deal? Like, call teams, be active. I want to see your call log, Danny. Go. I want to see something done. If a trade is not done, I think that part of this is, yes, they want to lower expectations for next year, and I understand why. And we'll talk about this, I'm sure, later. But I don't know why Danny needs to lower the bar for himself. You know, he was painted, and not by himself, by the way, by others, to be fair to Danny Briere. Others were painting him as this wunderkind, this amazing, this prodigy, this maestro, this guy that was going to rewrite the book on how being a general manager was going to be in the NHL. Not my words, not Danny Briere's words, other people's words. From, you know, Flyers Twitter and beat reporters and other things like that. Why Danny can't just say, listen, we're going to be aware. We're going to be monitoring. We're going to be calling teams. We're going to be keeping tabs. You know, we're going to be seeing if something can materialize. We'd love to make something happen. You know, I don't think that's a secret. I don't know why this has to be cloak and dagger and mystery and behind a shroud of secrecy. Like, it's not. everybody expects the Flyers to do something. Everybody. And for Danny to sit there and to say, like, well, I don't know, if something materializes, then maybe we'll look at it. Bullshit. Nobody believes you. You're going to have to do something. You've got to. You have to. You cannot continue and just run this back as is.
They can.
If you do that,
they might.
You're crazy.
They will.
You're crazy.
Yeah. It's a bad strategy, but it's the one that they fronted today. That, hey, everything's great. Everything's great. Rocky Thompson's coming back. Doesn't matter that they've had three consecutive years of the worst power play ever, and he's responsible for two of them. He's coming back. They're going to have Danny Heatley mentor Rocky Thompson how to be a fucking power play coach. First of all, the fact that Danny Heatley's in this organization is where it blows my mind every time that fact comes to the surface. You're going to have somebody... Why don't you just make Danny Heatley the fucking power play coach then and tell fucking Thompson to kick rocks? God, and that's a good pun, by the way. But, like,
Rocky.
Listen, at the end of the day, the power play coach is probably not super... The power play's talent-based. That's on-ice talent more so than the coach. However, when you have a guy that's responsible for two of the worst years in fucking... And I believe the 12... What did they finish? 12.2% or something like this year? Which is one of the worst by percentage numbers in the history of the NHL? That's crazy. Like, this guy's just coming back. There's why? If you're not going to go out and get that talent and add player X, Y, and Z to try and boost the power play, and you're not going to fire the fucking coach, what's going to change next year? How's the power play going to get better? It's not. And it was one of your major downfalls this year. And they're just like, oh, well, what are we going to do about it? It's that beyond anything else. That's fucking nuts that they didn't fire this guy.
You know what it is, though? It's called the bar is so low for the power play, just like the expectations for this team were so low at the beginning of the season. The idea is if the power play goes up to 14%,
it's an improvement.
It finishes 28th overall. Oh, well, the power play improved. These players showed growth and maturity.
God.
And like I don't want to hear this bullshit anymore. Like either Rocky Thompson can do something with the power play or he can't. And I believe Rocky Thompson when he says, listen, our power play sucks. And I believe Tortorella said it too. Some of it's personnel based because we've got the same players out there. And Danny kind of said that too. Where you can't totally blame Rocky Thompson. And I get that. So then go out and get somebody for the power play. But they won't.
Nope.
Because they're not going to splash money in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to draft at an appropriate level to bring somebody in. And they're going to deny, well, we don't know if we're going to make trades or not. Which is, again, bullshit. They are going to make a trade. They have to. They're going to piss everybody off if they don't make a trade now.
Except most people won't even give a shit. Because they're just going to suckle Breer's teat no matter what. Well, by the way, they said that Mark Stahl and Denis Gurionov are coming back. They did not mention Eric Johnson, by the way. Does that mean Eric Johnson's coming back?
I'm
going to lose my mind if they re-sign this guy.
EJ77.
Now,
yeah,
he did mention
in there that the young guys will compete with in camp.
Yeah, they did mention Andre, Addert, and Ginning as guys that Breer foresees making the roster. And Ginning is an interesting one because all the rumors are that he's going back to Sweden, but I guess we'll see what ends up happening there. But, I mean, Andre should be here. That guy alone could fucking help your power play. You know, Addert is on a one-way contract, so theoretically he should be in the NHL anyway, even though that's never stopped them before, to send these guys down. And then Ginning looked very well, looked very good in his very few game sample size, 8 games or something like that to end the season. But yeah, I thought, like, the fact that Eric Johnson was left out of that, you know, he's not coming back list, and then they go on to talk about how three of their defensive prospects are going to make the NHL. I'm like, the math isn't working out on this one. There's too many goddamn nobodies back there.
It's pathetic. And one other thing, you know, he said that with regard to the power play, Breer said that they're not going to be taking big steps there. It's just going to be small steps, like you mentioned. That is really unbelievably uninspiring. I mean, especially given that this is the third year in a row they finish at the very bottom of the league in dead last. Like, you would think, I know that there's like a rebuild going on, but there's absolutely zero sense of urgency there. And there's no sense of urgency anywhere else. Like, why? why do you have to just take small steps right now? Is there literally nothing else that you can do to get higher end talent players on this team? I mean, why should I want to watch this? Like, every time they have a power play, I'm just going to turn the TV off, because the past three seasons, they've been so much better at 5-on-5. The other team, when they get in the PK, they just sit back on defense. Our guys are not talented enough to cycle the puck. They can't enter the zone properly, and it's just a shit show. So, like, why do you even mention that? Like, you should say something like, oh, you know what, we're going to be, I don't know, just make something up. But don't say that it's just going to be small steps on that. And God, it is just so frustrating hearing them say that stuff. I just, I don't know. And then saying like, oh, well, it's going to get better through increased collaboration. And you mentioned Danny Heatley, and I think that Patrick Sharp will be consulted. I'm like, increased collaboration is what you're selling me with these fucking players? Like, get out of here. That is so, it's like a slap in the face that insults my intelligence as a fan watching this team. Like, how do you get away with this stuff?
By the way, they make it sound like the power play was just a problem in like the last month of the season.
Yeah,
it wasn't. So Danny Heatley, Patrick Sharp, John LeClair, all of these fucking freeloaders are fucking getting paychecks from this front office. And not one time in this 82 game schedule, not one fucking time when this team was dead last in the power play the entire season, not once did somebody sit there and go, well, I think we should ask Sharpie to come down and see what he can do for
Nope,
not
off limits
once. This, they wait until after the season at the end of the year presser to dangle this carrot of, look, this is why we have all these people on the payroll, because now we can bring them in and consult with them. We can get a period of consultation, a time of just evaluating what we've got. Like, that was the phrase that was missing here I thought he was going to say. He's like, well, we're going to evaluate it a little bit and see what happens. And he kind of did say that there were some players on the roster that he still wasn't 100% sure about. And I was like, dude, if you say evaluation period, like, I'm throwing my laptop. I'm going to throw it out the window. Like, don't. Please don't. Like, not once did somebody say, let's bring in Sharp. Let's bring in Danny Heatley. Let's get him to work with Rocky on the power play. Never.
Why didn't they have increased collaboration throughout the entire season?
Never. Because that didn't even enter the realm of possibility. It just sounds good at an end-of-the-year press conference to kind of deflect and shoo away all the flies.
Yeah, and they know it's bullshit anyway. I mean, there's since when was increased collaboration with a consultant the answer to solve a power play or really virtually anything when it comes to on ice play that requires talent? I mean, it's just constantly deflecting from like these mid to low tier players. That's all this is. It all relates back to that. Is like, this is what we have. We are taking no steps to get better. The only way I think that they are just banging, and we mentioned this a while ago, but I think that they are banking on finding a needle in the haystack late in the first round or elsewhere in the middle or later rounds.
Yep.
They are going to tease this thing out into eternity, complete eternity, until they find that Braden Point type of player in the middle of the draft or some other player that, I don't know, like a fifth rounder like Jamie Benn years ago, like – That's how they're rebuilding. That is the most asinine and ridiculous thing, because there's no other way. They've closed the door on everything else, and to use that as the key to bring in those players. I don't know how people can get behind that. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't.
You know what? If I were Bobby Clark or Bill Barber, I'd be upset. I'd be like, what? You can't fucking ask me about the power play. Scored a couple of goals back in my day, too. Fuck, you don't want to ask him? He's on the payroll, too.
Yeah, they're still getting paychecks. May as well bring them back in. What are they doing as advisors? What else are they doing?
There was a quote that Tortorella had, too, that kind of relates to this that I thought was just like a what the fuck moment, where he said something to the effect that, like, they never practiced 3-on-3 or 4-on-4.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys see that?
Yep.
Like, how is that possible? How in the hell is that possible?
They're
like,
busy bag skating.
That is, like, a version of special teams there, and 4-on-4 happens fairly often. Like, and a 3-on-3 is kind of, you know, whatever, but like, I mean, and that's even the overtime there, which is probably even actually more than 4-on-4. So it's just mind-boggling that, one, you never did it, and two, you actually admitted it in a press conference and nobody followed up on it either.
This team's all about vibes, guys. You know that. They're a good bunch of guys. They're the greatest guys you've ever seen in your life. The locker room's fixed. Everything's great. Never mind the fact that 24 hours after getting eliminated from the playoffs, a couple of the Flyers players were at the Phillies game, you know, looked like they didn't have any beers in their hands, but yeah, in the eyes, you could kind of tell a little bit. They were having a good old time. Vacation vibes, baby. Let's get Sandy by the pool. And it wasn't Sandy at the game, just so they were clear. But
Yeah, I was at that game. It was Travis Konecny, Joel Farabee, and Frosty.
Yeah, that's right. The great young players that are going to propel this team forward.
Yeah. I don't know, but I did not walk away from this press conference hopeful for a good summer. It was like the exact opposite I wanted to hear. I just wanted them to be like, hey, this was a good first step. Let's get better. And it was like, hey, this was a good first step. Let's sit in this diaper for a little bit longer. I just, I don't know. Then there's this fucking Ryan Johansson guy. Okay. He played every single game for the Colorado Avalanche this year. He shows up in Philadelphia. Career-ending injury, magically out of nowhere. Never planned to play hockey again. In Ryan Johansson's case, all I can tell you is that I don't expect him to be back. We're dealing on the medical side with him. I think the number one thing for him is to get back to being able to play at this time. He doesn't think he can play hockey, so I wish I had a better answer for you, but we need to get him better to figure out if there's even a remote chance of him dressing for the organization at whatever level. How? Okay, first of all, if he's hurt, you cannot buy him out. You're not allowed to buy out injured players. So he's going to be on the books next season. That $4 million cap hit, that's here to stay. How is he injured at a career level when he played a few days before the Flyers acquired him? This is like the sketchiest fucking situation they got going here with this guy. It's like Ryan Ellis all over again. Except Ryan Ellis had a real injury that we found out about. This fucking guy, he's got an owie, and he's done. And he's not going to play ever again, supposedly. What the fuck is going on with Ryan Johansson?
I always thought he was kind of scummy to begin with. I mean, I don't obviously know the guy, but like I kind of got like a weird sense from watching him in the league, just with like interviews and how he responded to coaching and, you know, certain ways that he played and whatnot. The only thing I can think of here is that Johansson's like, fuck this. I'm not playing for this fucking team. I'm getting paid. So I'm going to have some sort of, I'm just going to tease out with my doctors that I've got some bullshit ailment and keep it really confusing and amorphous and just try to bleed this shit out to get the last year of my contract here. Because once he only has 1 year left, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
1 year and then $4 million.
Once the league year starts, and the Flyers haven't, I guess you could, there's like a buyout window, right? And the buyout window would end at some point when the new league year starts,
yes.
Maybe around training camp or August or something. I think it's in August. So if he can get to that point and then he's like, all right, well, you can't buy me out because I was injured. And now I will, I don't know, stay injured or just figure it out. But damn it, I am getting the last year of my contract salary. I think that's where it's at with it. And the Flyers just kind of accepted that was a potential risk when they brought him in from the Avalanche in order to execute that trade to get that first rounder in 25. And, you know, you brought in another situation that you got to handle that seems to be par for the course for this team. But, I think that Briere's, his quotes made absolutely no sense on it. I don't know how you can not know what's going on, but at the same time, I do think that there's probably some posturing from Johansson on this because he doesn't want to be here.
I think there's mutual disinterest on this one. Mm-hmm. I don't think Johansson wants to be here, and I don't think Tortorella wants Johansson here.
Yeah, exactly.
acquired him, then immediately sent him down to the AHL despite the weakness at center at the NHL level. You know, like something's been going on here the entire time, and it's very fishy. And now he's got a career-ending injury. And yeah, if they can't buy him out, then he's just stuck. He's going to be on LTIR next year for, you know, a reason. And they did that to themselves! All that to get a fucking pick from Sean Walker! Just another masterclass from Danny Breer. Masterclass! Big balls and masterclass! Fuck off.
I'm looking at Ryan Johansson's game logs here, and you're right. His last game that he played was March 4th.
Yeah.
And the news story that says Flyers acquire Johansson in a first round pick is dated March 6th. 2 days.
Yep.
So he played 10 minutes, 58 seconds. It was against Chicago. You know, and then his average ice times are, you know, 11 minutes, 12 minutes, 15 minutes, 13, 14, 11, 12. So he's been playing in that bottom six role. And then the Flyers magically get him. And then magically he's got something wrong with him. So either the Colorado Avalanche traded a guy that was injured and didn't say anything, or Ryan Johansson, you know, found a medical professional to tell him that, hey, this isn't right. Maybe he was playing hurt and just didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe he was gutting it out like Jamie Drysdale apparently was all season. That's another guy that we need to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But Johansson, like, I mean, listen, he was a hell of a player in juniors with the Portland Winterhawks. And I could see that at this age, I would not be interested in playing in the American Hockey League myself if I was in his shoes. At the same time, he's kind of got to work his way back to where his career used to be. And he was never stellar. So his career's kind of been disappointing. But this Johansson thing is a huge mystery. Like, was he hurt? Was he not hurt? Did Colorado trade a guy knowing he was hurt? Did this injury appear after the trade? What's the Tortorella relationship like? What's going on? Does he not want to go to Lehigh? Like, what's the... But you're right, Mike. I agree with you 100%. Why would I want to play hockey when I could just sit and do, you know, go fishing and go pop plants with Ryan Ellis on Ellis Island and just get paid my $5 million or $4 million bucks, whatever it is, and then be done? I would do the same thing.
Yeah, because the buyout is did we take a look at this earlier, Dan? What is the actual buyout number for him? Because he ends up losing, I think, a little bit of money, even though he does get paid this year and I think the following season. But at the end of the day, I think he's still like losing out on at least like maybe $1 million, $1.5 million, which obviously is a lot. And if you can not do that, you're just going to fuck with the team as much as you can.
So Johansson makes $8 million total. Half of it is being retained by Nashville. His post buyout earnings would be 5.3 mil, which gets split up both to the Flyers and the Predators. It's 2 years at 1.3 mil for the Flyers and 2 years at 1.3 mil for the Predators. So the retention, the salary retention goes to part of the buyout price, if that so happens to be the case. So 1.3 for the Flyers against the cap for 2 years.
Okay. So is that a net loss of $3 million for
something
him?
Something like that. Yeah. Give or take.
Yeah. Okay. That's a lot then. Yeah. It's even more than what I thought. So yeah, there's some serious money here that would make him want to say, look, I'm going to fight and lie and do anything I possibly can to prevent the team from buying me out. And I just got to get into next year at the, whenever it is, the, you know, mid August or end of August. I think that's absolutely in play. There's too much money on the line for that not to be.
I think that one of the things that is at play here is I think he has to show up to training camp. And then at training camp, the medical staff, when they do their physicals and stuff, that's when they get determined if he can play or not. And I think that's going to be the key, Mike. I think you're right. So I think it's like in August when players start to report to training camp kind of thing. That's kind of where they, you know, they'll put skates on him and they'll see if he can skate and whatnot. And if he can't, then it's like, well, I'm injured. And it is what it is. I just found it interesting that the quote is the Flyers have no plans for Ryan Johansson. And it's like, well, you kind of have to, because he counts against the cap and he's going to be on LTIR and he's going to, like, you do have plans for him. Like, he might not be on the actual roster in terms of,
they have to deal with him one way or the other. Yeah.
You're going to have to deal with him in some way, shape or form here for this coming year. Like, that's kind of a weird statement. And I don't know who said that, but it's on the, all of the websites on the title of their articles.
And other various injuries. It sounds like Drysdale is going to need core muscle surgery of some kind. Which, boy howdy, been a whole 2 years since we had to hear the word core muscle fucking surgery of this team. Seems like everybody gets it sooner or later. The whole Giroux, Elliott, Gossespierre, that list goes on and on. It says it affected the player's skating, which is normally one of his biggest assets. The shoulder seemed likely at one point to need surgery as well, but it improved without it. So there you go. They did not go into surgery on his shoulder. So get ready for that to fall apart in about November. But yeah, great. So there's one. Ristolainen underwent surgery on his ruptured triceps tendon. Sounded like they tried to get him back through the rehab process, then it just didn't happen. They originally expected him back a lot sooner, and then he just missed the entire rest of the season. And I guess he just got surgery relatively recently, even though he missed fucking half the season on that there. So, yeah, there you go. Two of your defensive pieces are going to spend the summer rehabbing and thus not be 100% going into training camp. So that'll be the excuse for next season. Is, he's hurt! As Cutter Gauthier tears up the league and scores 100 points. And Drysdale will be, he's hurt! He's rehabbing! He'll be fine one day! And then he just never is.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It's we'll, a never we'll burn that bridge when we get excuses. There. Yeah, we've heard it a million times. It's like, oh, well, he didn't have a full offseason to prepare. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the following season will be a bad season or a less than season. And then we've got to wait till the following summer. And it's like, okay, well, if he has a healthy summer, then he's able to come in the following year. And then there'll be some other excuse. And then he'll get some injury in November or something. It's just, it's a never ending excuse cycle.
The Jamie Drysdale thing. So he needs core muscle surgery.
Yeah.
Do you Flyer fans remember some of the last guys that needed core muscle surgery and how they performed the following season?
Like shit.
Simmons, Giroux, Gossespierre.
Brian Elliott.
So, like, you know, next year was going to be a big year for Jamie Drysdale. And it's already off to a really rocky start. And isn't it kind of ironic that he's going to go see a surgeon, a.k.a. known as a Cutter? I hope he's got his Blue Cross Blue Shield paid up.
He's going to have his IBX patch on.
yeah, his card. He's going to get his card. But this was going to be a big year for him. And, you know, everyone was saying, like, oh, he had a whirlwind year and the trade from Anaheim and the injuries and all this. Like, coming to training camp, he would have had a fresh start and he would be ready to go. And now it's like, now he's got core muscle thing. And it's like, Jesus Christ, like, can we not get anything nice here? Like, this trade is already, and I know it's, listen, I'm not giving up on the guy, but to be perfectly honest, he looked lousy.
Wasn't very good.
Other than the first couple of games, not impressive at all.
Nope.
And not what was advertised. I'm sorry. And you know what? I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt and all this. And now it's like, now next year is going to be the, well, he had the injury and this mm-hmm. and that. And then you push his development and his inexperience and all that another year. And, like, I know he's still a young guy, and I know that things can turn around, but it's like, this is not what I wanted from this Cutter Gauthier trade. This looks really bad.
Yep.
This Gauthier trade is going to fucking dick slap the Flyers.
It's going to
so
hurt
hard.
For the next 20 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All because mm-hmm. Danny Breyer doesn't speak English.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think they're in trouble, man. You know, I, like you mentioned, this particular injury is one where I'm confident that he will be back next year and start the season, but he will be playing at what, 60 to 80%
70%
through most of the season?
Yeah,
it's going to be something, some notable reduction in ability. And that's even best case scenario. because we've seen it with every other player that's had it, and they've all said it after the following season. They all noted specifically, we can probably dig up all the quotes from all the Flyers over the past 6 to 8 years, that they said, yes, I was compromised throughout the entire year because of the core muscle surgery I had the previous summer. Every
Drew
single
said
one
it, Gossberg said it, Hayes. Elliott, there was all, they were all
Hayes, yeah.
It took a whole year to recoup and get over that. Yeah. So
yeah, so where does that leave them? You know, I mean, I think it's
it leaves them with more excuses. Well, Drysdale's not at 100% yet, but one day he will be. 25-26. That's the year he'll turn around. And then he'll fucking, his shoulder will act up again or something. He'll be fucked up that way. And it's just you delay the fucking inevitable all the time. Meanwhile, Cutter Gauthier's having 100-point seasons.
Yeah, yeah. So does this, so with respect to Ristolainen, this pretty much completely takes him out of any sort of trade scenario. I know that he was potential bait for this coming off season to go to a team that was ready to contend, perhaps, or Flyers, you know, could get somewhat creative with him. But now, you know, with this, I don't see him really having that kind of value because there's question marks from a health standpoint.
Yeah, I can't imagine he gets traded now. And, you know, maybe it's late in the summer, early preseason, but trades very rarely happen that time of year anyway. But yeah, Risto is here for another year, at least till 2025 trade deadline. So buckle up, everybody.
Total speculation here, but do you guys get the sense that the Flyers have not really been on the up and up with Risto? And in terms of what was wrong with them and everything, like, we're getting all this information now.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
but,
another,
like, it's been
last game he played.
It's been weeks upon weeks, and everyone's like, where's Risto? Oh, he's dealing with an injury. We hope he's skating, so we hope he's back.
I mean, and this started. Like, yeah.
His last game was February 10th. It is April 19th right now.
Right. So he had a ruptured triceps.
Yes.
So technically, the Flyers weren't lying when they said, well, he's skating. Yeah, good, because you use your fucking legs to skate, not your biceps. So technically, they weren't lying. Well, he's skating. I don't know. He's doing fucking pirouettes and figure eights over there in the corner by himself. Great. But they didn't say anything about, like, you know what? We're trying to rehab, you know, an upper body injury. And, you know, maybe they did say upper body injury, but... like, they gave very little, and it was almost like, why? What are you hiding? Like, what is it that you're doing here?
Wasn't like, it this season that he didn't start the season, did he? He was on.
He only played 31 games this year.
I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that he was injured before the season started. Didn't end up playing the first.
His first game wasn't until November 25th.
Yes, so he was, and then the Flyers were teasing this injury out.
The last 2 months of the year.
Yes, and they were like, oh, this is a day-to-day thing and all that sort of shit, and it lasted for the better part of the beginning of the season. So this is probably, I mean, who knows, but the Flyers invite speculation on these things, so that's what we're going to do.
Yep.
And my guess is a tricep injury, that's something that can very easily happen when you're working out in the off season. That's not really a typical hockey type of injury, but it's something that happens at a gym if you're overdoing it or something like that. So my best guess is that he got injured in the off season, never healed properly, and they strung this bullshit along for like 8 fucking months, and now he's getting a surgery now when he should have had a goddamn surgery probably last Thanksgiving. Right?
Probably, maybe.
I mean, it's so ridiculous.
It's always something with this team.
Yeah, that is undoubtedly true. And
now they just screwed themselves. If he would have had the damn surgery earlier in the fall, they screwed themselves from potentially getting him back at the end of the season. Maybe he helps you make the playoffs, and then maybe you can trade him in the offseason.
If they would have had surgery in February, this wouldn't have been a problem. Yeah. Apparently, he just had it. How did they not know that he ruptured his triceps months ago? What the fuck? How did that... it misdiagnosed or something? What the fuck happened? How do you not know that? How do you hold off on that injury for so long? I don't think that's one of those things that heals by itself. Christ.
They thought it would. It's Evil Dan Helferty here. Sorry, it's my fault. I gave Rasmus my my Purple Orchid VIP card instead of my Blue Cross Blue Shield card. My mistake, guys. My mistake.
Oh, my God.
He's going to meet Bob Kraft down there for a little duo session.
A little therapy. Yeah. We'll get that arm nice and ready for you, Rasmus.
Therapeutics.
Yeah. Angela from South Korea will do a real good job. Yeah. She'll make that arm get good as new.
She loves hockey. Yeah.
Well, on that note, we'll wrap up this first episode here. And got plenty of fucking more to talk about. Don't you worry about that. But, yeah, we'll call it a day. We'll be back with somebody sometime this week, I'm sure. At Dan the Flyer Fan at BrotherlyPuck_pod. Plenty shit up on the website, BrotherlyPuck.com. You can check that out. Dan the Flyer Fan _jerseys over on Instagram. You want to keep up with some of my hockey jersey collections. And, Mike, where can people find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter or X at Flyer_AF.
Manny.
At Manny Benavidez, and as always, BrotherlyPuck.com. Another season in the books, guys. Another off season ahead.
Mm-hmm.
God, rinse and repeat.
All right, everyone. Until next time, goodbye and good night.